So perhaps you would take the Bible from the seat underneath you, the one in front of you, probably better, and turn in the New Testament section, that's towards the back, to page 113. And as you do that, you'll see that the outline of the sermon will come up on the screen. That's to help you follow it as we go through. And for those of you who like to use the notebooks in the pocket in front of you, that's to help you take notes as well, if you would find that helpful. So, page 113 of the New Testament section towards the back, John chapter 21. I was a young man and a young Christian, but I'd grown enormously since I'd given my life to Christ. I'd fought against the Christian faith for several years. But when I was finally convinced Christianity was true, that the evidence stacked up and was conclusive, I asked Christ into my life and grew fast. I was growing by leaps and bounds in Christian understanding. I was plunging into all sorts of Christian activity. And then I heard a sermon on this passage, John 21, 15 to 19, and it hit me between the eyes. In my life, I've heard, as perhaps you have, hundreds and hundreds of sermons and forgotten everyone, or almost everyone, including my own. But this is one I won't forget. One of those sermons where you feel Christ just speaking directly to you with his penetrating question, "Do you love me?" And it ties in with our All Saints mission statement. Some of you who've arrived here more recently won't even know we have a mission statement. It's easy to miss, though it's on the front of the guide which you have been given or will be given today. It's this: growing in love for Christ, for each other, and for the world. And we on the PCC are in no doubt which love is the most important. It's as we grow in love for Christ, and only as our love for Christ grows, that we will learn to love each other more and love the world. But how do we grow in love for Christ? Well, that brings us back to this passage and to Jesus' question, which is very simple and very direct. It's this: do you love me? He asks it, you remember, three times. If you follow it with me, verse 15. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Verse 16, a second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" When Hebrew speakers want to emphasize something, to draw attention to it, they say it twice. There's a famous example in this passage. Jesus' habit of saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you," which is the literal translation of the opening words of verse 18. And just occasionally they say something three times. God is holy, holy, holy. And that's probably why Jesus asks the question three times, to drive it home to Peter and to us. And perhaps the most hard-hitting question is the first one. Verse 15, "Do you love me more than these?" We don't know what he meant by "these," what David Alexander, playing Jesus, meant as he swept his arm round like that when he said it. Perhaps Jesus meant the fishing, which Peter had just suggested they go back to. Perhaps his boats and their tackle, or perhaps the other disciples, the friends he'd spent 3 years with. It may be deliberately ambiguous, so that Jesus asks both Peter and us, "Do you love me more than anything or anyone else? Do you love me more than your job, more than your financial security, more than your home, more than your ambitions?" And do you love me more than your friends, more than your children, your grandchildren, more than your husband or wife? Do you love me more and first? It's a question for Christians who've sinned. And that's another reason why, and that was brought out in the drama, Jesus said it three times. Peter had sinned. In chapter 13, he said, "Lord, I'll lay down my life for you." And Jesus replied, "Will you, Peter? The truth is, before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny three times you ever knew me." And chapter 18 is the story echoed over the loudspeakers of how that happened. So if we've come to church this morning very conscious that we've sinned, we had a major row or a very nasty telephone conversation before we came out, we got angry with our marriage partner or our children, or if it's much more serious than that, we know we're living a lie amongst our Christian friends, Jesus says three times, "I'm ready to forgive you, and I will forgive you, but there is one condition. I need to know, do you love me more than these? More than any wrong habit? More than any other relationship?" It's a question for Christian activists. That's what I was when I heard that sermon on this passage. I was my college rep for the University Christian Union. I was telling all my friends about Christ. I was going to Bible studies and prayer meetings. But the question I was being asked by Jesus was, "Andrew, do you love me? Do you love me more than all that?" It's a question for coasting Christians. For those of us who are going along nicely as Christians, but we are no deeper, no further along than we were 12 months ago. The All Saints mission statement begins growing in love for Christ. And so the question comes to us from Jesus, do you love me? Well, that leads to our answer, which in Peter's case was, "Lord, you know that I love you." Again, he says it three times. Verse 15, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Verse 16, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Verse 17, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." It's an answer to give honestly, because as Peter says three times, Jesus knows the truth. And as he knows, we'd better be honest. When a man is having an affair, and his wife comes to him and says, "Do you still love me?" He may say, "Yes, I do. I love you." And he might perhaps get away with it. But Jesus knows. And Peter says honestly, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Perhaps the most honest thing for me to say, or for you to say, would be, "Lord, you know that my practice as a Christian is very up and down. But you know that at bottom I do love you. You mean a very great deal to me, perhaps more than anyone else, and you know I want to love you more." And it's an answer to give thoughtfully. That may be yet another reason why Jesus kept asking the question, and asking it until, as verse 17 tells us, Peter was hurt by the constant questioning. Because Jesus didn't want any glib answer. "Yeah, of course I love you." He wants a thoughtful response from Peter and from us. So as Jesus comes to us today and asks, Andrew, do you love me? Catherine, do you love me? Your name. Do you love me more than anyone or anything else? Don't let's answer too easily. Let's give it some careful thought before we answer, this is Jesus' hope. Yes, Lord, I can honestly say that I love you. You know my inmost thoughts. You know that I do love you. And Jesus responds. So the conversation moves to Jesus' commission. And in this story, Jesus gives two commissions. First, to care for Christ's flock. Once more, it comes three times at the end of each verse. Verse 15, Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, tend my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. Of course, this was said in the first instance to Peter, who was the earliest leader of the whole Christian church. Of course, Christ says it today to those in our church family in leadership positions, to house group leaders and PCC members and lay pastors and junior church and campaigner leaders. He says to us, tend my sheep. But he also says it to all Christians. We show our love for Christ by feeding and caring for other Christians, especially younger, newer Christians than we are. We feed them by helping them take in Christian truth. That may be by suggesting we have a one-to-one Bible reading partnership with a younger Christian we know, or offering to be an encourager to him or her in their personal Bible study. It may be lending or giving to Christians we know books that will help them grow. And caring for them may mean visiting them in hospital or taking their children off for the day so they can have some time to themselves or time with their husband for a day together. Above all, it means gently finding out their needs and faithfully, regularly praying for them. Our mission statement says, growing in love for Christ, for each other, and for the world. And this passage shows how closely those loves are linked. And in particular, if we are growing in our love for Jesus Christ, we will certainly also grow in our love and care for his flock, his family. Christ's second commission comes as more of a shock. It is to suffer for Christ. This is how Jesus puts it to Peter in verses 18 and 19. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to Peter, follow me. Jesus is talking about loss of independence. Loss of independence can be hard for older people. When you're young, this is the first half of verse 18, of course you dress yourself and you go wherever you choose, you do whatever you wish. But when you get old, you begin to lose your independence. And as I visit in Crowborough Hospital, I see how painful that is. It's humiliating to have someone else dress you and bath you. It's a very hard pill to swallow not to be allowed back to your own home, to be taken to a retirement home or to your sons or daughters where frankly you don't want to go. And Jesus was not just making a general point. He said this to Peter for a specific reason. As verse 19 puts it, he said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Clearly, Peter was martyred for his faith. Later tradition says he was crucified. And it may be that the belt fastened the cross round his shoulders as he was led off to the execution point, where he certainly didn't want to go. But by adding, "follow me," Jesus hints at what the rest of the New Testament shows clearly. Loss of independence is the norm for those who love Christ. We're not our own master. That's why we call Jesus Lord. And for all of us, that will mean suffering. For all of us, it will mean being taken where we don't want to go. It may mean agreeing with the family about the dividing up of an aunt's or our parents' estate when we don't think the division is fair. It may mean being sidelined at work because our more gentle Christian approach doesn't fit with the company ethos. It may mean giving up all the advantages and comforts of Crowborough to be our next long-term mission partners working overseas, whether you're still young without children or older than that and perhaps the children have left home. Which brings us right back to Jesus' question. It's a searching question, a difficult question. I've missed out a little section there. Okay? He comes to each one of us and he says to us, "Do you love me? Do you love me," says, "more than these, more than anything or any other person? And are you willing," he says to us, "for me to be your first love above every other?" Jesus comes with this question, let's remind ourselves of that, to Christian leaders, to Peter, to staff members here at All Saints, to leaders within All Saints, whether in the children's, the adults, or the elderly people's work. And he says to us, "Do you love me?" And we reply, "Lord, you know I'm out 3 nights a week in your service. I'm on the PCC, I go to a house group, I go to some other ministry group within the church, I go to preparing to lead on a Saturday morning. I'm always about your service." Jesus says, "That's wonderful, but that's not the point. The question I'm asking you is," says Jesus, "do you love me?" It's a question for every Christian. Under the old covenant, there was one major command. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Under the new covenant, you could put it more simply, do you love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? How will we answer? Not glibly, not quickly, not without thought. It may mean for some of us that we need to go for a walk on the Ashdown Forest, to think that question through really carefully, to think where we're at in our relationship with Christ, and to face that question from Christ afresh. Do I really love Jesus? And not just how will we answer, but how will we live? We've already sung in this service, "I love you, Lord." And I've sometimes said that or sung that and then completely denied it by my life. It will mean, as we thought, caring for other Christians, being responsible for their feeding, their growth in Christ, just as a shepherd is responsible for his sheep. I cannot say about any of you, their faith is none of my business. But equally, you cannot say about any of the members of your house group, about any of the people you'll have coffee with in a moment, or juice with in a moment after the service, their faith is nothing to do with me. Faith is a private thing. We simply cannot say that. When Jesus turns to us and says, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And it will mean suffering for Christ. Love means sacrificing yourself for the other person, giving up your independence, your freedom of choice to him, to Christ. He won't always take you where you want to go. It may be that as some of us came into church this morning, we knew perfectly well that what Christ is wanting us to do in some decision, in some choice that's before us, it is to go somewhere, to do something that we don't want. And Jesus comes to us all the more urgently and says to us, John, Liz, Mary, Richard, do you love me? Do you really love me? Let us pray.